From North State Public Radio, I'm Eric Adams with your headlines for Wednesday, January 7th. With the sudden passing of Congressman Doug LaMalfa this week, many are wondering what his death means for the future of California's 1st Congressional District. To get some answers, NSPR's Claudia Brancart spoke to Chico State political science professor Charlie Turner. She started by asking how LaMalfa's priorities both did and sometimes did not represent North State voters.
I think what made LaMalfa a kind of a complex figure is that he was representing an area that really cared a lot about issues that weren't easily definable as Republican or Democratic issues, you know, things like water and wildlife and farms. There are things that affect everyone. That being said, of course, he also had a very conservative outlook, and that is something that he shared with a lot of folks who resided in his districts, his different districts that he represented over time.
Right. And so with the passage of Prop 50 and then now LaMalfa's sudden passing, it's kind of an uncertain time for voters up here. What happens now for constituents when a long-serving congressman dies in office?
Well, some confusing things, unfortunately. The first is that for at least the next several months, we won't be represented by anyone in Congress. That seat will be vacant until, you know, a likely scenario would be that the governor calls for a special election. It seems likely that that would be held in June because we're already holding primary elections statewide at that time anyway. So it wouldn't be a completely new election. But then if we hold a special election at the same time as the primary, then voters in this district will be voting for someone to fulfill the remainder of the term for the district as it has been drawn up to this point. But at this, in that very same election, we would have a primary for the new district as it will be drawn for the November election, if that makes sense. So essentially, two different elections for what is essentially the same seat in Congress.
And so zooming out, how could this moment affect the balance of power in Congress, even temporarily?
As we know, it's a really close, you know, partisan split in the House of Representatives right now. Marjorie Taylor Greene just resigned a couple of days ago. And so when that happened, you know, the news was, this is going to make it an even narrower Republican majority in Congress. So then with the sudden passing of Mr. LaMalfa, that makes it even closer. There are a couple of other special elections that will occur between now and then, but my sense is the Republicans would, you know, regardless of what else happens, the Republicans will maintain a majority throughout the rest of this session of Congress. But certainly it makes, you know, every single vote that much more important, particularly for, you know, the Republican Party, if they're trying to pass legislation that they can then sort of run on in the November election to say, you know, to say that they are successful and working hard on behalf of the American people.
That was Chico State political science professor Charlie Turner speaking with NSPR's Claudia Brancart about the passing of longtime North State Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Many in the North State are shocked and saddened by the sudden passing of LaMalfa, a fourth-generation rice farmer from Oroville. He was deeply involved in agriculture and water issues over his more than a decade of service. Colleen Cecil is the executive director of the Butte County Farm Bureau. LaMalfa was a member of the Bureau, and Cecil says he often dropped in at meetings when he was in town.
When he spoke about agriculture, he spoke about it from authenticity. He spoke about it because he lived it. And that is now gone, is we've lost that farmer in D.C.
Cecil says this is a time for grieving, not politics, but did acknowledge that the North State agricultural community is concerned about who will eventually fill the District 1 seat. The eyes of the political world are on Governor Gavin Newsom following the surprising death of Republican Congressman Doug LaMalfa. NSPR's Andre Bayek has more.
The Democratic governor struck a friendly tone today. He said in a statement that the congressman was deeply devoted to his constituents in the North State and loved serving his country. Newsom is on the clock, though. He has to call a special election within the next 2 weeks to replace LaMalfa, according to state election law. It's not yet clear when that election will happen. What is clear is that it would be held under the current congressional district lines for LaMalfa's district. It spans from Yuba County all the way up to the Oregon border and still includes Redding, and would likely favor a Republican candidate. CalMatters reports that California's newly redrawn congressional lines, which favor Democrats, will be in effect for the regular midterm elections this year. The longer LaMalfa's seat goes unfilled, the harder it will be for House Republicans and their slim majority in the chamber to advance President Donald Trump's agenda. In Chico, I'm Andre Bayek.
Redding Police Chief Brian Barner was abruptly placed on administrative leave just before New Year's Day without explanation. Now he's back on duty. According to the Redding Record Searchlight, there were reports that he had made some questionable management decisions, like granting off-the-books time for officers and buying personal gifts for his staff without appropriate authorization. Barner told the paper he's not able to comment beyond saying that he believes an investigation will show the allegations are unfounded. A compensation fund to help LA wildfire survivors has paid out fewer than 100 people as of this week. That's according to reporting from our California newsroom partner, CalMatters. The fund is run by Southern California Edison. That utility's equipment has been widely blamed for starting the Eaton Fire, which burned more than 14,000 acres and displaced much of the community of Altadena. Melena Carollo has been reporting on the payouts.
The compensation fund launched in October, and Southern California Edison tells us out of 1,800 people who've applied, they've offered to pay just over 80 people. To be eligible for this program, applicants need to have experienced injury or loss or damage to their homes in the Eaton Fire, and it also covers deaths caused by the fire. But when people agree to take money from Edison, they also have to agree not to sue the utility. While Edison has not accepted responsibility for the Eaton Fire, the utility's equipment has been widely blamed for starting the blaze.
A spokesperson for Southern California Edison told CalMatters these compensation offers are going out faster than the company anticipated. And those were your headlines for Wednesday, January 7th. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, visit our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eric Adams.